Continue our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, chapter entitled Renunciation of Kardama Muni, the text number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Etad
me
janma
loke
asmin mumukshanam durasayat prasakhyaya prasakhanaya tatvanam samantaya atmadarshane etanme janma lokesmin etanme janma lokesmin Mumukshanam durasayat.
Mumukshanam
durasayat. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Sammatayatma darsane. Sammatayatma darsane. Etanme janma lokesmin. Mumukshanam durasayat.
Mumukshanam durasayat.
Prasannakhyanaya tatvanam. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Sammatayatma darsane. Sammatayatma darsane. Etanme janma lokesmin. Mumukshanam durasayat. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Sammatayatma darsane. Sammatayatma darsane. Etanme janma lokesmin. Mumukshanam durasayat. Prasankhyanaya tatvanam. Sammatayatma darsane. Etat, this, me, my, janma, birth, loke, in this world, asmin, in this, mumukshanam, by those great sages seeking liberation, durasayat, from unnecessary material desires. Prasankhyanaya. For explaining. Tatvanam.
Of the truth.
Sammataya. Which is highly esteemed. Atmadarshane. In self-realization. Translation by His Revangeli Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Please repeat. My appearance is in this world.
My appearance in this world.
Is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed,
for self-realization,
by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Purport by Sri Rangra Sri Prabhupada. Here the word dura sayat is very significant. Dura refers to a trouble or a dukkha, a miseries. Asayat means from the shelter. We conditioned soul have taken birth of the material body, which is full of trouble and miseries. Foolish people cannot understand the situation, and this is called ignorance or illusion or spell of Maya. Human society should very seriously understand that the body itself is a source of all miserable life. Modern civilization is supposed to be making advancement in scientific knowledge. But what is this scientific knowledge? This is based on bodily comforts only. Without knowledge that, however, comfortable one maintains his body, the body is destructible. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha. These bodies are destined to be destroyed. Nitya sukta sarirana refers to a living soul or the living spark within the body. The soul is eternal, but the body is not eternal. For our activity, we must have body. Without the body, without the senses, sense organs, there is no activity. But the people are not inquiring where it is possible to have an eternal body. Actually, they aspire for a eternal body because even though they engage in sense enjoyment, that sense enjoyment is not eternal. They are therefore in want of something which they can enjoy eternally. But they do not understand how to attain that perfection. The Sankhya philosophy, therefore, as stated here by Kapila Dev, is Tattvanam. The Sankhya philosophy system is designed to afford understanding of the real truth. What is real truth? The real truth is knowledge of how to get out of this material body, which is the source of all trouble. Lord Kapila's incarnation or descent is specially meant for this purpose. That is clearly stated here. Om Agyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militanmena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadameyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturu Vescha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaisnavi Bhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the permission of the devotees, Vaishnavas, so we'll begin today. We have come to this section of Srimad Bhagavatam here, where Lord Kapila has appeared from the Devi Kardamuni and Mother Devahuti. So Kardamuni has requested, he knows that the Lord Kapila has appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as his son. So he's requested the Lord and took the Lord to a secluded place, and he's praying to the Lord that he's the Supreme Personality of God. He's seeking the permission to leave this household life. The title of the chapter is called Renunciation of Kardamuni. So Kardamuni is going to leave the household life and then go to the forest. This is to set an example for, this is the part of the Varnashram system, that one goes through a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. So he's preparing to just leave this situation. Now this is just, he has prayed to the Lord Kapila Dev, and Lord Kapila is just starting to speak. This is the second verse today we are at. The Lord Kapila is speaking here. So after this, Lord will instruct him, and he will take a permission. Kardamuni will take permission from the Lord, and he will depart. Following that, the Lord will instruct his mother in the Sankhya philosophy. So this verse, he says, now the Lord is giving one of the reasons why he appears to reestablish the principle of religion. So first I would like to touch what is Sankhya philosophy. The Sankhya philosophy deals with matter and spirit. So matter, this particular philosophy deals with starting from the very micro level to the macro level of the matter and the spirit. So what is material, what is spiritual, culminates this whole, the creation, the elements, and this is what it deals with. The Sankhya philosophy deals with that, different aspect. It gives into detail. Sankhya, the word, it means a number. This is a word from Sanskrit, which means number, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's numeric. The Srila Prabhupada translate this word Sankhya as a analytical study. So it analyzes very deep, very micro to macro, level. So it's the philosophy, it's a section coming out of the Jnana Kanda of the Vedas. There are different sections of Vedas, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and etc. So this particular philosophy is coming from that section of the Veda, which describes very detailed into the matter and spirit. So it deals with the elements. There are 24 elements. So starting from the gross level is earth, water, fire, air, ether. There are five elements of the gross. As you can see, this is part of the earth. Whatever you see, which is substance, which is hard, this is part of the earth. Then next comes a water. Even our body is made of these elements, gross elements. If you see, it's a liquid there. I was teaching my son the other day, there was a science chapter where it says there's about 70% of the body is consist of water. If you take the water out of the body, there's only 30% of the actual hard substance, bones, marrow, and dried. So this earth, water, and then the fire. Fire, which we have, it maintains the heat in the body. There's a fire presence in our body. Fire also helps us to digest our food we're taking in. And then there's air. There air that is described as there's five types of air present in our body. One is prana. Prana is the most important part of the air. It's very subtle. Prana is particularly placed in the heart, where the soul actually is floating within that prana air. So, as we can see also in Hindi or in India, it said pran chale gaye, means that the life is gone. So, what is actually happening is that the air, the prana, is where the soul is residing, that has gone out of the body. That's one type of air. The second type is apana. That air that actually helps to flow, the air goes downwards. That is called apana. There's another one, third one is called bhyana, which shrinks and expands. That is called a bhyana. The fourth one is samana, that keeps the body in equilibrium, which keeps the body into a balance. And the fifth one is udana, that air that flows upwards. So there are five different types of air in the body, that is, functions of the body. The next element is ether. The ether is that I can speak and you can hear me. Ether is the element that's in the body that you'll be able to hear that sound. The ether is represented by a sound. So that the body consists of these five gross elements. And then there are three subtle elements, which is mind, intelligence, pulse, ego. Yeah. And there are five working senses. Voice, I'm speaking as I can, you can hear me, is, or tongue, represented by tongue. Leg, our senses, working senses, you can walk, you can go to different places. Hands, you can do different activities with the hands. And the anus, that's evacuating, and genital. So these are the five working senses. Now there are five knowledge acquiring senses, which is eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. There are five knowledge acquiring senses. These senses acquire knowledge. With the eyes, I can see what's the color, what's the different things. I can see you, I can see different things. With the ears, they can hear the sound. Nose, smell, touch, and skin. Tongue and skin. Now, there are five sense objects, which is smell, that is received through a nose. Taste, that is received through a tongue. A form, that is perceived by eyes. Touch, that's perceived by skin. And the sound, that is received through the ears. So these are the sense objects. So these consist of 24 elements. Now 25th element is, now these are the 24th is all material elements. This material, these elements consist, in fact, not only our body, this also consists of the whole creation. Material creation consists of all these 24 elements. Then the 25th element is soul, which now is spiritual. Soul is spiritual, it's eternal. It is not material, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. And the 26th element, it's not an element as such, but it also comes into this Sankhya thing, is a super soul. That's Paramatma, which is God. Then also, then now the spiritual world, Krishna's activities, and this all come into a spiritual part of the. So, all this consists and makes the philosophy of Sankhya description. Very minute detail to very macro detail to universal creation. So this is consist of the Sankhya philosophy, which Lord Kapila has come. In the next sloka, he describes why he's come. That because this knowledge has been lost, and he's coming to reestablish this knowledge. And so, as I mentioned, there's two types of knowledge. One is material, one is spiritual. Material knowledge, we know that everybody practically in this material world is the material knowledge basically means how to live. The knowledge limits up to the body. It does not consist or does not contain or does not anything with the soul or super soul, nothing. So all our material knowledge, all the education given nowadays, or everything is known. Most of the people in general is based on the body. How to make the body comfortable? How to live longer? How to just anything that was related to the body? No knowledge is given about the spirit soul or the soul or the spiritual energy. So knowledge is two types, material and spiritual. And so anything that is related to a body, it's temporary, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. It is temporary. So no matter how much we make an effort to make this place perfect, it is going to end when the body ends. So, we are in this material world, we have short life, but you can also, in the different sections of Veda, gives you an opportunity to actually go even make it more better by going into different planets. You can go up to the heavenly planets or different planets, there you can live for a very long period of time, and the comforts of the bodily senses or the enjoyment is far superior and what we have in this world. But it's a catch, is that you will have to come back. You will not have that situation forever. It's temporary. It is a temporary. Abrahma bhuvana loka unara avartino arjuna. So no matter which planet you're traveling from top to bottom, you will have to come back and do your things. So it's temporary. So now here Lord has given why he comes into this world. We just had a Sri Krishna Janmashtami. Lord comes. He gives three reasons why he comes. That paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Yeah? So he comes paritranaya sadhunam to protect the devotees. Second reason, to vinasaya cha duskritam. So to destroy the demons or demoniac nature. Third is to dharma samsthapanarthaya. So he comes to re-establish the principle of religion. So this is what he's saying here. This I take birth. Now he's come here, this Kapila Dev has come here, appeared to re-establish the Sankhya philosophy or the way of devotion. And when Lord appears, it's transcendental. Dibyam. Janma, karma, chame, dibyam. Lord says, my appearance and disappearance, my activities, all dibyam, transcendental. What is this transcendental means? Transcendental means nothing out of this material world. It is all spiritual. It's beyond this material world. It's nothing. So when Lord appears, he appeared with a four-handed form. He didn't just appear just like us. He comes with a four-handed form. He's fully decorated. He has got a crown on the head. He's well rest and he can communicate. Immediately he takes birth and then he communicates to his parents, do this. And he's talking to the parents. I don't think so any of us, when we are just born, we're able to talk even. Why we can't even do it? We just immediately cry. So the Lord, he comes, he instructs Devaki and Vasudev and makes an arrangement. He makes an arrangement for all the shackles to be opened. The guards fall asleep. He makes an arrangement for him to take him across to Jamuna from Mathura to Gokul, where the Gokul is other side of the river, and the Mathura is in the other side. So taking from one side of the river to other side, and he makes all arrangements. That is the Lord's appearance. And even the mother Yamuna was flowing. It was just torrents of rain. It was flooding. The reason she was flooding is she wanted to actually touch the lotus feet of the Lord, because she knew the Lord is appearing. So Lord has come. So she floods, and then she takes that, touches the lotus feet of the Lord, and then she subsides. The whole river goes down, and the Vasudeva is able to take the Lord Krishna across and take to Gokul and bring Krishna back. So this is Lord. When Lord appears, the demigods are praying. When we appear in the womb, I don't think any demigods are praying. we suffering. And when he's just about 7 days old, he can kill demons like Putana. Putana is a big witch, gigantic witch, and he's just able to kill just 7 days old. And also when he was just a month or so old, there's another demon comes, Sakatasura. He comes in the form of a ghost, and then Lord Krishna was under the cart, and he goes into a cart and he wants to make this cart heavy and then cross to Krishna. But Lord Krishna immediately just kicks his leg like this and then kills the whole demon. This is the Lord. And so on and so forth. So many demons, Denakasura, Bakasura, Aghasura, so many demons just killed. I don't think so any of us we could do such a wonderful. In 7 years old, he takes the whole mountain, gigantic mountain, into a little tiny finger. And he's able to lift and give the shelter to whole Brajvasis. This is Lord. This is appears. But our acharyas give a fourth reason why actually Lord comes. Not to do these things. These paritranaya sadhuna vinasaya chaduskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya. This can be done. Lord can do it without even appearing there. Why does Lord have to come? He can, if he wishes to kill a demon, he can just close the oxygen for 5 minutes. Who can survive without the oxygen for 5 minutes? Lord has got that power. He's Swarat. He's fully independent. He can do anything. So if he wishes to kill the demons, he can just do it from distance. He doesn't have to come. So he can appear in a different from anywhere. He can come out from the nose of the Brahma. We just read from the in earlier chapters that Lord Varaha appeared from the nostril of Brahma. Yeah, so he doesn't have to come from. Well, he can appear from anywhere. He appears from the pillar. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your God?" Prahlad Maharaj said, "He's everywhere. Is he in your pillar?" "Yes." He takes a club and then smashes into a pillar, and then who comes? Lord Narsingadev. Yeah? So imagine this scenario that Lord has to obey the order, the word of a devotee. If Hiranyakashipu would say, if the God is in the floor, God, he would have to appear from the floor. But Prahlad Maharaj, I mean, he appeared from the pillar because he was directed it to, it was a pillar. So, so he can appear from anywhere. So the Lord, the main reason Lord comes to this world is to give pleasure to the devotees. That is the prime reason. Our Acharya explained. This is the prime reason that the Lord comes, to give a pleasure to the devotees. To do all those things, killing demons, saving devotees, he can do it from distance. He doesn't have to come. But he comes, he gives an opportunity to those devotees. There are different types of devotees who took part in Krishna's Leela. There are Municharis, those rishis. When Lord Ramachandra came in previous incarnation as Lord, the rishis in the Dandakaranya forest saw this beautiful form of the Lord Ramachandra. And these rishis was so captivating, this beautiful form of Lord Ramachandra, they desired to actually have a conjugal relationship with the Lord. When the Lord was requested by these rishis, but Lord said, not in this my incarnation, but when I come as Lord Krishna next millennium, then you will take part. So these munis, they took birth as some of the gopis in Vrindavan, so they could take part in Krishna's Leela. There are another type of devotees or gopis, that is Sruticharis. They are the Veda personified. They also wanted to partake in the pastimes of the Lord. So they also took as some of the gopis in Vrindavan. There's another type of devotees who come, are the sadhana siddhas. Those devotees who actually perfected their devotional life, and they wanted to be part of Krishna's Leela. If we do perfect our devotion in this life, we are eligible to actually partake in Krishna's pastimes. Maybe in a different universe, we are able to take part. So those devotees are called sadhana siddhas. So they take part in Krishna's pastime. There's another type of devotees, they also come, is Nitya Siddhas. Krishna brings those eternally the perfected devotees like Sakhis, Asta Sakhis, Radharani, Lalita, Visakha. All these are Nitya Siddhas. He brings Madhya Soda, Nanda Maharaj. These are all Nitya Siddhas. They come to take be part of. So Lord comes, gives an opportunity to these devotees. So this is the reason what Lord comes, to give a pleasure to the devotees. And his birth is not like our birth. Our birth is not good, not good at all. In fact, this will be one of these subject matter that Lord Kapila will, as part of this philosophy, Lord Kapila will will describe to his mother in down south. I just wanted to read a few of these verses. What is our situation at the birth? We have four types of miseries, like birth, death, old age, disease. So birth, I just want to read through what is our birth, how we take birth, what takes place every step of our birth, as described by Lord Kapila Dev. I just want to read through a few verses describing what is our situation, what is our condition when we take birth. This is the chapter entitled Movements of the Living Entities. The Personality of God is said, under the supervision of the supreme Lord, according to the results of work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter into the womb of mother through the particle of male semen to assume a particular type of body. So this Lord Kapila is actually describing what takes place, how we go through the different stages, what happens when the soul or the living entity or us is put into the taking birth. On the first night, the sperm and ovum mix. On the fifth night, the mixture ferments into a bubble. So then our Lord is giving a description. What happens from the time of conception. On the tenth night, it develops into a form like a plum. After that, it gradually turns into a lump of flesh or an egg, as its case may be. So when it refers to an egg and flesh, it means that the birth is, if it's taken as a bird or the reptiles, which comes from an egg, or in the form of flesh, which is the human other types of body. In the course of a month, the head is formed. So in a month, the head is formed. At the end of 2 months, the hand, feet, and other limbs take shape. By the end of 3 months, nails, fingers, toes, body hair, bones, and skin appear. As do the organs of generation and other aptures of the body, namely eyes, nostrils, ears, mouth, and anus. This is in the fourth month. Within the four months from the date of conception, the seven essential ingredients of the body, namely child, blood, flesh, fat, bone, marrow, semen, come into existence. At the end of the 5 months, hunger, thirst make themselves felt. At the end of the 6 months, the fetus encloses by the omnion, begins to move to the right side of the abdomen. Deriving the nutrition from the food and a drink taken by mother, the fetus grows and remains in an abominable residence of stool and urine, which is breeding place for all kinds of worms. Bitten again and again all over the body by the hungry worms, in the abdomen itself, the child suffers terrible agony. Because of this tenderness, his tenderness, he thus becomes unconscious moment after moment because of the terrible condition. Owing to the mother's eating bitter, pungent foodstuff or food which is too salty or too sour, the body of the child incessantly suffers pain which are almost intolerable. Placed within the omnium or the cover outside of the intestines, the child remains lying on one side of the abdomen, his head turned towards his belly, his back and neck arch like a bow. The child thus remains just like a bird in a cage, without freedom of movement. At that time, if the child is fortunate, he can remember all troubles of the past 100 births and grieves wretchedly. What is the possibility of peace in mind in that condition? So imagine this, you're remembering just, this is about, I think, 7th month, 8 months, you're starting to remember the 100 lives, the suffering you have is given to that moment. Thus, endowed with the development of consciousness from the 7th month after his conception, the child is tossed downwards by the air and pressed an embryo during the week preceding delivery, like a worm born of the same filthy abominable cavity. He cannot remain in one place. The living entity in the frightful condition of life, bound by the seven layer of material ingredients, prays, folded hand, pleading to the Lord, who has put him into this condition. So this is our birth. So this is what we have to go through. And this, now, it doesn't end here. So we have to take birth again and again. Imagine you have to go through this. So Bhagavatam is teaching us to let's not go through this cycle again. This is what Lord Kapila has come to teach us. This is what Sankhya philosophy, this is what is teaching. There, of course, there's a lot of other topics entitled Lord Kapila will explain devotional service and the creation, etc., etc. This is one of the topics he gives in details. What takes place? What is our condition? We're suffering here in this material world. So now, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has so kindly has made this possible for us to understand in why it's available. This knowledge is available to us to get out of this cycle of going birth, old age, disease, and so on and so forth. So I'd like to end here. So I'd like to, if anybody has any questions or comments or corrections, please.
Yes.
As I understand, the unnecessary material desire refers to that anything that is material, that is anything related to your body or your senses, your desires, which is just based on the material level. So the desire which is outside of material level, material which is linking to the Lord or going to the spiritual or matter, spiritual, it is the different other desire. So two types of desire. Material desire, which is anything related to your senses and body, and the desire of the soul, or which is to go to the spiritual world, as I understand, it is the desire of other type of desire.
Yes, ma'am.
Desire for the function of the body has to be maintained. See, the body is the vehicle via medium that is we can attain the spiritual platform. If we don't have a body, We cannot attain that, the spiritual knowledge. So body is via medium. Yes, if there is the body is required. Body has got a requirement. It's like a machine. Car needs a fuel. Vehicle needs a fuel. So body requires the food to maintain. You can do only devotional service when you are within this body and when you have a body. If you don't have a body, we don't have a chance to cultivate that spiritual knowledge or spiritual activities we can perform. Because the spiritual activities required, it's an activity, it's something you got to perform. To perform, you require a body. So the body requires a maintenance. So if you have a desire to eat, yes, you are allowed to eat, you can eat. But there is... there is certain food stuff you can eat, and not other food stuff. But yes, in order to, eating is not wrong. it is right. The sleeping, you're required to sleep. It is okay. If you eat too much or too little, it is you got to have a balance. So the eating or any of the functionality of the body, it is okay to maintain. You got to maintain. So you cannot stop, say, oh, okay, I'll stop eating. But body, you require a body to do a devotional service. So you have to maintain, eat.
So we are talking about this vayu, prana vayu, apan vayu.
Yes.
So is there any control that the humans acquire to control these vayus? We have any control on this, or it is a kind of normal physiological functions that's automatic, it's a involuntary.
As I understand, it is part of the whole function of the body. It is there, and then because of this presence of these five different types of air, the body is able to function correctly, as I understand. They, in Ashtanga Yoga, there is a mention of how to control these different airs. In even Ayurveda, I mean the disease condition is coming from like the imbalance of air, the mucus or the bile. So the air, there's a function. Through the yoga, you can control different the movements of the yoga, and also as I understand, these airs are required. This is needed to function as a body, as an individual. As I understand.
So we can control through yoga?
Yes, but I personally don't know how it is done. I'm not an Ashtanga yogi. So I would not be able to give you how it is done, but it can be controlled, yes.
And when you talk about the back to Godhead,
yes.
What does it mean? Does it mean, as you are saying, that next life you will be able to go to Krishna, you can take part in this? Mm-hmm. So what does it mean actually? Become Nitya Buddha, Nitya. Frequently, the devotees use this word back to God.
Yes. So, this material world is temporary. Yes? So, what we are, we originally belongs to spiritual world. Since we have this desire to lord it over this material, or lord it over being, we want to be independent out of Krishna, we have come to this material world. So this material world is created for us to lower the nature, lower it over. You be the boss, you will be the supreme. That's where with the mentality we come. So now going, when we're referring to going back to God, it means we came from there, we need to go back where we belong. That is what it's referring to. So in order to go back, it's the only means to go back is by doing a devotional service. So the devotional service is the by medium where we can actually go return back home, back to Godhead. So this is what I understand.
But that doesn't mean that you take part in Krishna's pastime.
Yes, yes. And in fact, our acharyas explain that when we perfect in this lifetime, our devotional it is so. We are eligible to take part in Krishna's pastimes in a different universe, maybe perhaps, where Krishna is performing these pastimes. And we can be a part there, and from there, we can go back to Godhead. It could be, I mean, there could be, there's a different scenario, they could be go directly. Or they can also take part into that pastime and go back. That's why my understanding is. Somebody can correct me.
Knowledge to understand nature and spirit and control of it.
So,
and the control
of both. Oh, yeah, controller of both, yes. Yeah, which is super soul.
Yeah,
26th is the super soul. That's how that mistake. Yes, so the 24 elements, which if you look at, put a sum total of the creation, which is consists of these 24 elements, then the spirit soul, which is 25th, and then 26th is the super soul, which is now Krishna, which controls, super soul controls both matter and spirit. It's a controller, which is ultimately it's Krishna. Yeah.
The five working senses, five energy, five senses.
Yeah.
Three subtle elements.
Yeah.
So that's 5 and 5 is 10, 5 is 15, 3 is 18.
Can we get
five
them?
Five sense objects.
I know this. There's something about how to count.
Yeah, these ones I also was trying to make it 24, 8. Can you get a Bhagavad Gita program? Okay, thank you.
But I actually did lose count.
Okay.
So there are probably two questions there.
Yeah. I think Srila Prabhupada gives the different elements, these elements, in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Let's see if I can find it. I think in verse number 6 or 7 somewhere. Which verse was it? 6 or 7?
6, 2, 7,
both
put together.
I'm looking at different. Yes. I think when the Lord is describing the fields of activities in chapter 13. Prabhupada gives just a synopsis of these elements in the purport. So if it says, first there are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. There are five great elements, Mahabhuta. These are called five great elements, Mahabhuta. Then there are false ego, intelligence and unmanifested stage of three modes of material nature. Then there are five senses for acquiring knowledge: eyes, ears, nose, and tongue, and skin. Then there are five working senses: voice, leg, hands, anus, and genital. And then the senses, there are mind, and which is within, and which is called a sense within. Therefore, including the mind, there are 11 senses altogether. And there are five objects of senses: smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. Now aggregate these 24 elements are called field of activities. These are 20. Okay, any other questions, comments?
This hatha yoga and these other elements are linked.
How?
Hatha yoga, so we're talking about the yoga and this is linked with.
The. Your question is, what is the linkage between hatha yoga and these elements? Hatha yoga is generally it's the process. It's the physical. There's 8 branches of the yoga system, which ultimately is all referring to, it's coming down to the purpose of the is to control the body, control the mind, control the elements, and bring your mind and senses control and focus to the Paramatma within. That is the ultimate goal of Hatha Yoga, is to realize there's a Paramatma within and control all your activities through the yoga system, and then focus that action to meditate on Paramatma. So these all elements are controlled through the yoga. I don't know how it's done exactly. I'm not really a yoga expert, as I mentioned. But that is how, well, this is the purpose of the Ashtanga Yoga, as I understand. Okay, we'll end here. Srimad Gantaram Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.